Crosby, Atlanta's News and Talk.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Artisan Custom Closets.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. And let me say a big thank you to my sponsors, Artisan Custom Closets and Marietta Plastic Surgery. This show wouldn't be the same without you guys as sponsors. So last hour was fantastic with Todd Orston, with Merriweather and Tharp. And we've got another hour in front of us with my buddy, Hal Runkle. He is a life coach and author of Scream-Free Parenting, and this is going to be a very interesting hour because we've talked off the air, and it's just going to be an interesting hour, to say the least. Right, Hal?
I hope so.
So this is, I told Hal earlier in the week when I booked him for the show, I said, Hal, I want to talk about something positive. And Hal is a life coach. I mean, he speaks to corporations. He talks to military all over the world. You know, he's private practice. And I said, I want to talk about positivity, you know, some positive stories about that are coming out about the pandemic and things that about the COVID-19 that we can spin into positivity. And he was like, well, Belinda, sometimes that's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
And you know, you always do that to me.
And counterproductive as well.
Yes.
Well, I think that's why you keep calling me, but we'll see after the end of this show. If I ever get a call back.
So I'm like, you're doing the opposite of what I wanted.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned military, and I have had the incredible opportunity of traveling around the world and working with military folks, leaders. And there's a great expression that's a bit crude, but I think we can all handle it. And it started, I think, in the Marines, but you are in Iraq, and it's 125 degrees in the shade, and your mission just got canceled, but you don't have new orders, but you can't go anywhere, so you're just stuck. And the phrase that they learned to adopt is embrace the suck.
Okay.
We can't make this thing better right now. We're all stuck in it, so let's not try to spin it. Let's not try to make it something other than it is, because the way our brains work is our efforts to try and make this better than it is actually reinforce the fact that it sucks. And it's kind of like, and you and I were talking about this earlier, you know, when your parents were giving you some bad news or trying to give you some news and you could tell they weren't telling you the full story.
Yeah.
But they were trying to spin it so that, you know, it's going to be okay. And mom is sick, but, or grandma's sick or whatever. And the fact that you knew they weren't telling you everything.
And they were hiding something.
Exactly. Made you feel worse.
Yeah.
Not better.
Gave you some anxiety.
Absolutely. Because, oh my gosh, it must really be bad if they can't talk about it.
Right.
So you were talking to me, and you judge how much you want to share, but just that this has been an incredibly difficult senior year for so many folks, including your son.
Yeah, I have a graduating senior this year, Will.
And he's not going to have a graduation that you've been thinking about since he came out of your body.
Right.
And that's not going to happen.
He graduated from a school that did not have a caravan of cars that paraded where he got a diploma or a virtual graduation. They did nothing. So there you go. It totally sucks.
It does. So let's just embrace it for what it is. It sucks. And yet, within that, your son graduated high school.
He did.
You've been working. You did. He is done with high school. Now all he has left of high school are those bad nightmares that we all have well into our 40s.
Where you go to school. Why? What is up with that?
Isn't that amazing?
You dream that you go to school with your pajamas on or that you forgot your pants.
or mine was always it's March and I haven't been going to class the whole time. And then I've got a paper due or a finals and everybody else has been working on it and I haven't been doing it. And oh, crap, what do I do now?
No, mine was always that I was missing a major important piece of clothing.
Piece of clothing. So now that's all your son has left are those nightmares. So congratulations.
But, you know, he goes to school. This week he goes and he picks up his cap and gown and he puts it on at school and he snaps a selfie and he shoots it to me. And that's the only time he'll have that cap and gown on. And
yeah.
I lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely lost it for days.
And what I will tell you is go ahead. Lose it.
I mean, if you could see me right now, you're by phone because we can't have guests in the studio.
Yeah.
I welled up.
Yeah.
Right now. Because.
And why shouldn't you be? It sucks. One of my favorite traditions is the Jewish tradition around a funeral called sitting Shiva, which is this amazing thing where it actually comes from the book of Job, which is all bad news. And it's 7 days. And when Job, according to that story, he loses everything. He's the wealthiest man in the world. And a tornado comes and kills all his 10 kids and he loses everything. And so his friends come to console him. And when they see him, he's covered in sores and he's lost everything. It's horrible. And they're not going to try and cheer him up. They just sit there for 7 days and don't say a word. They just sit with him. And that's the right thing to do. It's kind of like me trying to totally cheer you up and, oh, it's not that bad, right? You know, I pointed out, yes, he graduated.
Yeah.
That's great. But it's like trying to cheer somebody up at a funeral. That's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Let people feel what they're feeling. Because here's my theory that obviously I cannot prove, but I think one of the reasons why we are so getting restless and trying to polarize this thing into a political issue and throwing out ridiculous things from both sides and accusations is because we don't have the tools and even permission to just process how crappy this is emotionally. And let's just embrace that. I cannot imagine having a 12-year-old or a 3-year-old through this thing. I've got a 21-year-old and that's bad enough coming up living with us and we don't want him here and he doesn't want to be here. But you can imagine, I've got some clients, you know, that are business leaders that also have 4 kids under 10 at home and
yeah.
They're scared to death because in 2 weeks, the only thing that was an anchor other than them is going away because school is ending.
Right.
And they don't have travel plans. They don't know what they can do. Camps are canceled, you know.
Can't go to the pool.
Right. I met with a guy yesterday. He's got a 23-year-old special needs child that had a horrible accident when he was 2 years old. And he still wipes this kid. He bathes his son, who's about to be 23, shaves him. And they have a 6-week camp that he goes to every summer. And that is their huge respite from the daily constant care of their special needs child. And that was canceled. And so we're just walking in Piedmont Park yesterday. And it's not like I'm going to cheer him up. He's going to say, well, that sucks. He said, yep, it does. And that actually, paradoxically, can make you feel better. Because I'm not trying to pretend it doesn't. I'm just embracing it for what it is. This is a crappy situation that eventually we will all get out of. But nobody knows how. Nobody knows when. And it's left us with so much uncertainty.
So, Hal, that is one of the things. How will we know? What is it going to look like when we know when we can feel better? What is going to change?
It's a great question. And that's what everybody's trying to speculate on is what are we going to return to? I've got another client who he's been working remotely with his whole team. And they're realizing they're getting just as much done without any commuting. And he's thinking, I've got a 20,000 square foot building. Why the heck would I go back to that? And so it's going to be interesting what happens with commercial real estate. It's going to be happening. School, what is that going to look like? I am so terrified of my son's college saying that they're not going to welcome him back.
Right. And I've got this graduating high school senior that's going to be a freshman in college. Maybe.
Yep.
You know, and that's stressing him out now.
Yep. There's this great Seinfeld episode where George is talking about how growing up his parents were totally non-religious and he didn't celebrate Christmas. So they celebrated this made-up holiday called Festivus.
Oh, I love Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us, right? And one of the traditions is the airing of grievances. And they just go around and say the problems they have with each other, you know?
But right.
there's some wisdom there, though. All right, let's have a time where we're going to sit around. And I did this with a leadership team on a Zoom call. There were 15 folks, and we just all went around. Okay, what sucks in your world? Well, this. And we're actually laughing throughout the whole thing. Wow, that's it's almost like this competition.
Right.
And then there's sad stuff that comes up, but there's funny stuff that comes up. And guess what? Now that it's out, we're not hiding anything from one another.
Or just behind on that.
True. True. And men don't open up to each other, right? But we do complain. But I want us to be able to complain, but in a hopeful way, if that makes any sense. When I tell you, just like you trusted me with the information about your son, and now you've trusted all the listeners, which is very brave of you, but that is an act of courage that encourages other people to address and embrace what's going wrong with them. And that's actually a wonderful healing moment between people. And so taking the risk of saying, well, you know what, I got this done and I was hoping for this. I mean, I'm a speaker, right? That's what I do for a living. Public speaking is the main way I make money. And the first week of the pandemic, I had $100,000 worth of gigs canceled.
Okay, I'm going to have to hold you there because we are so late for a break. We'll be right back with more Hal on Atlanta Living right after this.
Now back to Belinda Skelton in Atlanta Living on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Thank you, Scott. Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton, along with my buddy today, Hal Runkel, who is a life coach and author of Scream Free Parenting. And Hal was in the middle of a story that I so rudely interrupted earlier. So,
you
Hal, did. I did. I'm so sorry. I'm known
no.
for that. Go ahead, Hal. You back up just a little bit and give us the.
Yeah, well, we're talking about just the bad news that comes with living through a once in 100 years pandemic, and it is everywhere. Everybody's got bad news, and it's counterintuitive, but in learning to embrace the bad news is ironically one of the best ways to recover from it is learning to embrace it. So I was telling you that the first week of the pandemic, when everything started shutting down, well, all of my speaking engagements, and that's mm-hmm. one of my big things I do, got canceled mm-hmm. to the tune of about $100,000.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I'm one of millions of small businesses that lost that kind of revenue and millions more. And businesses, it's unbelievably difficult to strive to try and make it through zero income.
Right.
Okay. So were there things that I could do? Yes. And I figured them out. But I had to start first with reality. And that's actually what one of the things good leaders do. What good leaders do is they help clearly state, well, here's the reality of the situation. And we talked about, you know, how your parents might give you news and how it was disconcerting if you could tell they were hiding something.
Right.
I remember, well, years ago, so 15 years ago, my wife got diagnosed with cancer for the first time.
Mm.
And our parents had been, one of our sets of our parents were with our kids, and our kids were young at the time, 8 and 6, I think. And we were at the hospital to get the definitive diagnosis. Did she have cancer? What was the treatment going to look like? And we heard yes. So we drive home, and we didn't call and tell the parents ahead of time. We just called. So we walked in the door, and my parents came, one of the sets of our parents, and we just said, hey, we'll tell you in a second, but we want to talk to the kids first. And it was my wife who was saying, no, we're going to tell them the bad news right up front from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember we went to an enclosed room without grandparents, and they were worried, and we just told them, okay, here's the bad news. Your mom's got cancer, and she's going to get very, very sick. The doctors have told us it is almost 100% chance that she will recover, but it's going to be a really, really tough time, and mom's going to eventually lose her hair, and she's going to be really, really sick as this goes, and it's not going to be fun. But we wanted to tell you guys up front. And this was scary to do because we're looking at their faces and they're starting to cry, right? And then you say, we open it up, and my son just, the only thing he says was, "Can I shave her head?"
Oh, okay. So therefore, embracing the suck.
Embracing the suck.
Okay, we're going to take our break and come back with our longer segment so we can take some calls. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB.
WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
This is 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta, the food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Artisan Custom Closets.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. And along with me is Hal Runkle. He is a life coach and author of Scream-Free Parenting. And so I had called him because I wanted kind of a positive message about that we could bring about with the pandemic and the COVID-19 virus and some positive stories. And he goes, "No, we're going to embrace the suck."
Yep.
You never cease to amaze me, Hal.
Good news.
Good news.
Life sucks.
Life sucks. So, yeah. But, you know, I see your point that we need to embrace the suck, and that in itself is cathartic. And
well, once I know that I'm surviving a terrible situation, that actually is a strengthening message that, okay, it's a terrible situation, and you know what? I'm still here.
I'm still here. Well,
still here.
But what, okay, when people say this is what you need to do, I'm the type of person, I'm like, but what does that look like?
Right. Well, there's a couple of things. One of the things is, and I've actually encouraged families to do this, but, you know, we were joking about the Festivus ritual of airing your grievances. I actually think it's a good idea to sit around with your family and just allow for some time to, all right, let's constructively complain. And let's just say, all right, what's really bothering you? One of the great things that helps people open up is, okay, right now, what's the worst part of this thing for you? And just allow that, encourage that. And once you've stated, okay, this is the worst part of it, okay. And then you realize I'm still breathing, I'm still talking, and the best thing that comes out of this is the best thing in life, which is connections with other people. That has been shown a million times over. The key to happiness is great relationships, always. And this is a chance to do that. If we're pretending and trying to cheer somebody up and are upset the fact that someone else in our house is not as positive as we want them to be, we're fighting against that instead of just, all right, so what's the worst part going on right now? And then let them say it and say, well, thanks for telling me. And that's it. You don't follow it up with, and let's try and talk you out of it and get you to feel better. If somebody asks you, will you help me feel better? Then you can do that. But I would even say that if somebody says, hey, I need some good news, do what I did to you. Well, first of all, what's the worst part? And let's establish that as, okay, that's the bottom. Now it's all up.
Everything else is up. You know, for instance, you know, my boyfriend, Andy, he had a pretty major surgery yesterday on his foot. Is in the hospital, and because of the pandemic, I can't go see him.
No, you can't.
No.
That sucks.
That's pretty sucky.
Yes, it is. And his kids can't go see him, and nobody can go see their, you know. And I will tell you that for me, the most tragic thing to hear all the stories about people who do die of COVID, dying alone, is just heart-wrenching. It's just awful. Awful.
I would love to hear from people in the few minutes we have remaining how they are embracing the suck. You know, how are you out there embracing the suck? 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750. Because I don't think I'm doing such a great job.
Well, the best thing is stop fighting it. You know, when we wake up and, okay, I'm got to find a positive. I got to find, you know, that energy that we do towards that is actually reinforcing that we feel bad. There is just this allowance for, okay, this part's not good.
Okay.
And you just did it. You know, he had surgery and you can't go see him.
Right. You know what the positive was?
Hmm.
My kids came over yesterday and we cooked dinner together.
Awesome.
To be with me so I was not alone.
That's awesome. And so, that's the coolest stuff are the connections that we're making with people, both within our homes and then outside. We recently moved to Midtown last year, and we've been having some cool little, you know, social distance block parties with people. And we hadn't even met these neighbors until this thing hit.
Right, right. And I do see people, but I see the tide turning. Okay, at the beginning, I saw a lot of people walking, saying hello.
Right.
More people out jogging, working in their yard. Now I see people just getting a little snippier.
Yeah, they are. But I will tell you this, one of the most encouraging things is every night here in Midtown at 8 p.m., we are still banging the drums and blowing the horns and clap every single night.
Now tell people who don't know about this what's going on.
There was a tradition, and we don't know where it started. We heard about it in other cities. But 8 o'clock here is the shift change at the hospital. And so as a celebration of those that are coming off the shift and encouragement to those who are about to start, the frontline people, there was just this spontaneous kind of applause and celebration at 8 p.m. Well, then it started to grow and grow. And so all the towers around us here in Midtown, we live right by Piedmont Park, it's still going on. And so
that
we've got a pot. We have a pot and a wooden spoon right by the door.
That poor pot.
We go out. Yeah, it's 8 p.m. and we knock and there's horns blowing, those vuvuzela things that people do at soccer matches are blowing, you know, and it's just this kind of cool thing that would never happen, but it does connect you in a positive way with these people. And so one of the things that's so disheartening about the blame game that everybody's starting to play with this thing is that you're missing out on the greatest part of it is making connections with people. Because that is always what has gotten us through. That is when we're at our best as humanity, is when we connect, not when we compete, but when we connect.
This country is so good at pulling itself up by the bootstraps when things get really deep.
They do. And it's when we stop saying there's a them and an us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I liked about this, and that sounds weird, about this pandemic was, the whole world is in it together. And that means there's no them.
Right.
It's all us. We're all in it together. And that's what's disheartening when we see people wanting to blame something that you just can't blame. There's no simple cause and effect here.
You know, it was the same. I felt the same way during 9/11. There were, you put aside party differences during that time, and you came together as Americans and as humans.
And what was even more opportunistic this time was there was no enemy that we were facing that was other humans, right? There was no group that we wanted to go. It was a invisible enemy that every single human is vulnerable to. And that's still the case.
Right.
And it frustrates me when we start, again, we miss out on the connection part because we're looking for how do we compete. And that starts because we're looking for how to blame. And I think it's because we haven't fully learned to embrace the suck. And look, blaming is just making the suck more powerful. So you want to know something to do?
Mm-hmm.
Stop blaming and stop looking to blame. It's not helping.
Okay. Right? So when we start to feel that urge to blame, where is that coming from? What is that stemming from?
It's just because this is an awful situation and we want out of it. And we want something to do with our energy and restlessness and anger and fear. And we have to learn. Our mammal instincts go towards compete and blame, right? Compete and blame. But our human brain, and you said it beautifully, we're at our best when we make these amazing connections and collaborate towards things. That's what every advancement in human history has been, through collaboration far more than competition. Mm-hmm. And it requires settling down those emotions that we're having. And we're having fear, we're having anger. Okay, embrace those. All right, I'm angry at this. I wish this were different. Yes. Guess what? So does everybody.
But I don't think we see a light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know what that looks like, and we don't know to look for feel that.
We don't. And in the face of that uncertainty, unsettling. We're scared. Yes, it is. And it's making us aware of how much we actually lived with a worship of certainty that we thought we had. But the reality is we don't. Certainty is a myth, and it can be taken away just like that. So in light of that, that can feel terrorizing, you know, it can feel paralyzing. Now what? And that's one of my favorite. Once you do the embrace the suck, okay, now what? This sucks. Now what? But the connection points that we make with each other build the foundation for something better. And so what are ways? And so one of the things I would love for everyone to do is, okay, who am I seeking to blame and why? And what is that doing for me? Is that actually making me feel better? Because once I think, okay, I found the person to blame or the party to blame, then I need to share that with others. And maybe now I'll get somebody on my side to share that. Mm-hmm. And we will feel like we're making a connection, but that is not connection. That's commiseration.
Right. Okay. We have about 30 seconds left. So I want to, if folks want to get in touch with you, if they like what they hear, how will they make a connection with Hal Runkel?
Sure. I mean, go to my Facebook page, just Hal Runkel, R-U-N-K-E-L, and reach out to me through that.
Okay, great. Coming up next, Hal, thank you so much. You're always such a delight. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to learn to embrace the suck better.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. All right, coming up next is David Danzig with Breaking Chews. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to Atlanta Living, where it is time for Breaking Chews. And this is where we drill down on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, festivals, and chefs. I'm here with my foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net. So, David, in the restaurant world, a week is like a year in normal time. And so lots of things have happened over the last week, literally.
Yeah.
We last talked to you last week. So what's going on?
Yeah, these restaurants, it's like being inside a particle accelerator during COVID. Everything changes so quickly. They're really hanging in there, and I'm proud of a lot of these operators. And I guess probably the biggest news in the restaurant world in Atlanta was yesterday. Vice President Pence was in town. I was stuck in that traffic.
Yes.
I hope you weren't.
Yes, I was.
But he dined in a restaurant really close to your house over there on Marietta Boulevard.
Walked over there and paid the tip for him.
Yeah. So, Vice President Pence and Governor Kemp ate at the Star Cafe and discussed restaurant the future for them. And then Governor Kemp went over to the Waffle House headquarters. So, you know, hopeful things ahead that the task force is going to be keeping in mind what the restaurant operators are going through. And then really the rest of the week has just been a flurry of reopenings. I've got up on my website, bitesandsites.net, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N, S-I-T-E-S.net. I've got some links up where you can see if your restaurant is opened up again for dine-in.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have this feeling that by next week, June 1st, if these restaurants aren't going for it to open up for dine-in, they may not go for it at all. They may stick with the carryout.
Yeah.
They may stick with takeout, or they, you know, and then the second part is closing. I've got up at bitesandsites.net. We're starting to see permanent closings happening. Mm-hmm. Some of these are from underperformers that just got exposed by COVID, and we wish them well, rest in peace. Some of these are operators that saw this as an opportunity to get out of unfavorable leases. Like we saw P.F. Chang's in the perimeter area by in Dunwoody closed for good back in April. The Canteen, which is a group of restaurants down by Georgia Tech, like a little mini food hall, they're claiming their landlord was not going to work with them. And so they've just walked away. Several others I've got up on my website, bitesinsites.net, that just are not going to reopen. It's just a week is like a year in restaurant years right now due to COVID. So we wish everybody well and hope everybody's being careful when they dine out and carry out.
So make sure every week you tune in to Atlanta Living for Bites and Sites, and tune in or check out bitesandsites.net, because we keep you up to date on what's happening in the restaurant world. Thank you, David.
Check out, again, my website is bitesandsites.net. And then please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. And my handle is at bitesandsites, B-I-T-E-S, the letter N-S-I-T-E-S.
All right. We can't wait to see what you bring to the table next week. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB.